Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together to learn more about you and your plan. And God, I pray that you may be with us in a special way, lead us. Pray that you may lead me to cover the things you see is most beneficial to look at today. Thank you that you have promised to give your spirit and lead and speak to us as we seek you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is no doubt two of the most important things we can learn. And this is no doubt two essential things, two key things in order for us to, you know, live the best and most fulfilling life we could ever live. So we'll start with how to study the Bible. We'll basically use the first part for that and then the second part for how to know God's will. So it's kind of two parts in one workshop. So how to study the Bible. I think no doubt this is one of the greatest skills to learn, in addition to also, you know, learning how to pray. How to study the Bible, this is really important. And you know, in the Bible we find a great treasure, you know, a treasure I think more valuable than anything else in this world. I wouldn't change, you know, what I found in this book against anything, you know, 1 million kroners or 100 million kroners or you know, becoming a professional soccer player, that was my big dream now, or whatever, you know. In this book we find a much greater treasure than all of that. And you know, in this book we're told, hey, here we have wisdom that makes us welcoming, that can make us wise to salvation. Here's wisdom that can make us wise to salvation. This is you know, learning to in this book we find the best guide, you know, we find the guide to the best possible life we could ever live. Yeah. So now, but I think one thing that is important to realize is that Bible study, the study of the Word, is a skill. It is a skill. And, you know, with all skills, everything you learn, all skills, you know, it usually starts small and it grows with training and, you know, perseverance and hard work. It doesn't just come like that, you know, to learn something. Yeah, whatever it is. You know, maybe you have sometimes had an experience, you know, you come to a convention like this, you come to a, you know, gathering like this, and you hear, you know, the Word of God presented in such a living way, in a powerful way, and you think, hey, you know, I need to go home, I need to study my Bible, you know, yeah. And then you go home, and you sit down, and you study, but it isn't so interesting. You somehow, it's not the same, you know, yeah. And you don't get the same out of it, you know. I think that is kind of like that you would see a professional violinist. And you will see this violin is really good, you know, playing, it sounds so nice, and it looks so, you know, easy, the fingers is just, you know, moving on the violin, and then you think, hey, I want to play violin. So you go to the shop, and you buy a violin, and you come home, and then you try, and it sounds awful, yeah. That's kind of this, a little bit of the same thing. It doesn't happen overnight, it is a skill, and all skills need training, need perseverance. It takes time, you know, to learn it, to really, you know, do it well, and to really, you know, I think the same with the Word of God. We can always be blessed, but I think as we learn some useful things, that will help us a lot and, you know, enrich our study in the Word. And basically, I have found. We will look at seven main points for studying the Bible that I have found very helpful. And I'm sure, you know, you probably know some of these things before, and maybe you practice, you know, several of these things. But still, I think, you know, we can all be blessed. We can take something with us from that. I studied the Bible before I put some of these things into practice, and I was still blessed by it. But by putting more of these advices I will look at, you know, into practice, I have been even more blessed. You know, I get even more out, you know, of the study of the Word. You know, just some things that I've really, you know, this fall, I've learned, you know, been even more and more blessed by some quite simple things that really enrich the study of the Word. So I want to share several practical things that I think can be useful. So the first point I want to say something about is it's important in the study of the Word and also to really be benefited by it and really get things out of it. You know, first we need to, you know, take the step to prioritize the study of the Word of God. We need to prioritize the study of the Word of God. And not only prioritize, but it's important that we prioritize it daily. That we prioritize it daily. It's interesting, we read about, you know, Joseph and Mary. Remember, they went to the temple, you know, Jesus was 12 years old, and then they lost sight of him in a moment. Yeah. Took 3 days for them to find him again. 3 days. And that's often how it is. If you have a, you can sometimes maybe have, you'll be really blessed by your personal devotions, but then for some days maybe, you know, you're so busy, you don't get the time, and then it's harder to sit down and really get the same, you know, things out of it. So it's important to prioritize, important to prioritize it daily. You know, Jesus said, man do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, I don't know about you, but if I don't eat, you know, very soon I get quite hungry after a few hours, and, you know, it doesn't really work. You know, if we don't eat, you know, we die. And similarly, if we don't eat spiritual food, even though we still may believe intellectually, even though we still may go to church, you know, if we don't get the spiritual food we need, we are dead spiritually. This is really essential. We need, man do not live by bread alone, but by every word. Paul talks about the inner man being renewed day by day. We need to daily take time in God's word, you know. What is the key verse of the Reformation? What would you say the key verse of the, you know, the Great Reformation in the 16th century? Yeah, that's one of the... But can you think of one Bible text that was like the beginning of the Reformation for Luther? That when he discovered this text, that's when... Romans, I've heard someone say. Romans 1, 16 and 17, where it says, you know, the just shall live by faith, right? The just shall live by faith. This is, you know, so you have sola scriptura, right? Sola fide, you know, by faith alone. By you know, grace alone, by, you know, the word alone. But so this is very important. This is a very important truth. You know, the just shall live by faith. But now, what does this mean? Something that is very interesting is that this phrase, this exact phrase, the just shall live by faith, you find it 3 times in the Bible. 3 times. Jesus said, man do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This phrase, you also find 3 times in the Bible. I think that is not a coincidence. The Bible tells us the man shall live by faith. What does it live? What does it mean to live by faith? Jesus said, you don't live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Living by faith and living by the word is the same thing, basically. Living by faith is living by the word. So taking time in the word, this is really essential. You know, the theme is transforming grace, yeah. The Bible talks about how we, you know, day by day, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, we are renewed, we are transformed by His grace as we, you know, take His word into our hearts, you know, and let that transform us into His image, yeah. That's how it works, very important. So we need to take time daily to the study of the word. Another thing that I think, you know, is prioritize the word of God and the study of the word of God, prioritize it before other appointments. Has it ever happened with you that, you know, someone asks you, can you join, you know, come here, you know, to a concert or whatever, you know, this or... And you want to go there, you like the thing they suggest, but you say no because you already have another appointment with a friend or a family member, yeah. That's happened with all of us, right? You know, we have had appointments and therefore we say no to something we could have liked to be part of. Now, has it ever happened that someone asks you to join for something and you say no because you had an appointment with God? Because you had an appointment to spend time, you know, communing with God, maybe studying the Bible, praying to Him. That's even more important, right? Yeah. We should actually, you know, make sure that we have an appointment. You know, that's the most important appointment we can make, yeah, to take time with God, with our Creator and Redeemer. Another thing is that is very helpful, actually, is to prioritize time with God and study of the Word in the beginning of the day. In the beginning of the day. This is very interesting. This is something God tells us to do. Welcome, we have more spaces in here. You know, the mornings are the best time, it's the best time for, you know, personal devotions. You know, we need to take time in the morning with God to receive the strength we need, you know, to for the duties that are ahead of us during the day and you know, to get the strength, we need to resist temptations. We need to take time in the beginning of the day. This, you know, God taught Israel this. You know, you remember what happened with the manna? You know, a picture of, you know, I think also the word of God, you know, spiritual food, you know. What happened if they didn't pick it up in the morning? Exactly. When the sun came up, it says, you know, it became hot and it melted. If they waited to take the spiritual, you know, to take the manna, it melted. It was too late. They couldn't do it. The same with us. You know, if we wait with spending time with God and His Word, you know, like all the cares, all the, you know, stress, everything we have to do, all burdens, you know, will come over us, and we don't get the strength, you know, and you know, that we need for the day. So, you know, we need to take time in the morning, you know. I think, you know, and Jesus did that. We see, we read, right, how early in the morning, Mark 1:35, early in the morning, he went out, you know, out in nature, and he prayed. He spent time with God in the morning. And he spent hours with God in the morning, actually, we read in Christ Our Work Lessons. So the morning is, you know, they sacrificed morning and evening, yeah. Daniel prayed three times a day. You know, I think it's, you know, it's good. We should not only spend time with God in the morning, but it's, you know, what is the most important meal physically? Yeah, it's breakfast, right? Similarly with spiritual food, morning is the most important time to spend with God and in His Word. That's usually often when maybe your thoughts are more clear, and, you know. So, yeah, it's many things you could come into in this topic. You know, getting how to get good sleep is also in that sense connected with, you know, what you can get out of that time in the morning, how clear, you know, how awake you can be. Anyway, we don't have time to talk about that. Another thing, I want to read this quote before, actually. It's Charles Spurgeon, a great evangelist some time back. He said the following. He said it like this. I think it's well put. He said, "The mornings is the gate of the day, and it should be well guarded with prayer. He who rushes from his bed to his business and waited not to worship is as foolish as though he had not put on his clothes or cleansed his face." Have you ever walked out without putting on your clothes? That's, you know, you don't want to do that, yeah. But it's, yeah, it's as foolish to not, yeah, spiritually. And as unwise as though he had dashed into battle without arms or armor, be it ours to bathe in the softly flowing river of the communion with God, before the heat of the wilderness and the burden of the way begins to oppress. Okay, so spending time in the morning is essential. Another thing that is important is to use enough time, to use prioritize enough time. Now, there is a really interesting, or before I say that, you know, there was one Bible student, he said, you know, the first 10 minutes of Bible study is often boring. The first 10 minutes of Bible study is often boring. And I think, you know, it's right. That's also my own experience. Usually if you just have a little time or in the beginning, you don't get as much out of it. You don't really, it's when you get more time and you really start to understand and really, you know, commune with God. It's a little bit like with exercise as well. I heard Dr. Hans Dilly talked about, I think it was 12 minutes. After 12 minutes of exercise, it's 12 or 15, I'm not exactly sure, but anyway, the point is, that's when you really physically start to get benefits from the exercise. It's kind of the same, you know, with study of the Word of God. You need to prioritize enough time. There is a really interesting quote. I will not take time to read it because I know that Jerry will read it during one of his meetings. He kind of, it's from Education, page 260 to 261. He talks about how, you know, many, they are in too great haste. They don't have enough time to sit down, they maybe pause for a moment, but they don't really get that communion, they don't really take the time they need, you know, not a pause for a moment in His presence, but personal contact with Christ, to sit down in companionship with Him. This is our need. So it's important that we take enough time, that we really will, you know, that the study of the Word of God will be what, you know, God wants it to be, you know, interesting, invigorating, you know, exciting, life-giving. We need to take enough time for that to happen. Okay, now over to our second of seven things we will look at in this part. What should we do before, you know, we study the Bible? It's maybe a simple question. Yeah, pray. Yeah, we should pray. It says in Steps to Christ, never should the Bible be studied without prayer. Before opening its pages, we should ask for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, and it will be given. Now, why is it so important, welcome, that we should pray before we study the Word of God? That's, you know, the question. Why, you know, we know we usually we pray, you know, we think, you know, this is something we should do. But why is it so important? Why is it so important? The thing is this. The Bible is a spiritual book that speaks spiritually to spiritual people. Bible is a spiritual book that speaks spiritually to spiritual people. It's not just words. It's not just a regular book. It's a living, you know, it's a living book. The Bible is living and powerful, it says. God wants to not only tell us things, but he wants to impress our hearts and minds, you know, with what these words, these principles means in our even individual lives, right? It talks about in Hebrews how, you know, the word of God is piercing through the heart. You know, it's telling us what, you know, it means for us. And in order to understand that, you know, it's one thing, you can understand the words, but in order to understand what God wants to tell you, what the King of the universe wants to tell you through this story, through this passage, it's essential that we come, you know, with the right attitude. That's the second point, that we have the right attitude. We come prayerfully, humbly, you know, reverently to God's word and study it. Actually, it's interesting. It also talks about in Steps to Christ, page 110, it talks about how actually if you have the wrong attitude, you know, for many it's actually a positive injury. Actually, it can actually be negative to come and study the Bible if you have the wrong attitude. It's very important. You need to have, you know, skepticism, doubt may strengthen if you come with the wrong attitude, without prayer, without reverence, without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So this is essential. You know, Jesus said in John 7:17, he, you know, if anyone wills to do his will, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. If you want to do God's will, you will know the doctrine. You will know if this is true. You will understand. An essential part to understand the word of God is the right attitude. This is, you know, really essential. The right attitude. You know, there's a sentence I like to say like this. I will is more important than IQ. When it comes to the study of the Bible, I will is more important than IQ. You know, the intellect is good. You know, we should love God with all our mind, heart, and soul. Yeah. We need the intellect to understand the Bible as well. You know, this does not mean that knowing Hebrew and Greek and these kind of things, that's good. That can be very helpful. But I will, the attitude is even more important if you have to choose one of them. Yeah, it's even more important. The attitude is crucial. Come with me quickly. We can go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and if some of you just read out loud, verse 43, very interesting verse, John 8:43. Okay, someone just read that out loud. John 8:43.
Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word.
Yes. Why do you not understand, you know, what I'm teaching you, what I'm telling you? Because you are not able to understand. Does it say something else in some of your translations? Because you are not able to listen. You cannot bear to hear. Yeah, I like that. That's kind of what it says in my translation. You have some, in some it says you can't stand to hear, you can't endure to hear. Basically, because you are not willing to receive my teaching, you do not understand it. That's the same with the Bible. Sometimes, you know, you can have a great, you can have a lot of knowledge, you know, but if you are not willing to receive, you will not rightly understand. You know, therefore, I would trust more a humble, you know, sincere Christian with little knowledge and a weak intellect, yeah, than a professor with a lot of knowledge, with a PhD, that is not really living a Christian life, yeah. I think, sure, he can have knowledge that can help me to understand the Bible. I believe that, yeah. But I, you know, if he don't have the right attitude, I would trust rather, I think God, you know, God can reveal things. Their attitude is the most important, but God is important. Anyway, so having the right attitude is crucial. Number three is study. How to study the Bible, you know. Study is essential. I think what I mean with that is, you know, we shouldn't only read the Bible. It's one thing to read some words. It's a completely different thing to really understand what it means and to grasp. And to really understand it, we need to not only read it, but we need to study the Word of God. We need to study the Bible. It's really interesting. It's a good chapter I could recommend. I don't have time to say much about it, but it's from Christ Object Lesson by Ellen White, chapter 8, The Hidden Treasure. There are quite some good lessons there for the study of the Word of God. And there she talks about how, She talks about how it's essential, you know, not only to read the Word of God, but to study it wholeheartedly, you know, to really study it, as searching for a truth, you know, as for a hidden treasure. We should search for truth as for a hidden treasure. Very interesting. And she talks about how many, they are content just scratching on the surface, while it's gold down there, you know. They never come to the point that they really study and get down to the goal, because they are, you know, they are scratching on the surface. So we need to learn to really study the Word of God. I have some practical advices. You know, one thing for doing that is to read very carefully. Notice every word. And it can be good sometimes to read it several times, the passage, you know. Read it again and again. It can be helpful to read different translations, you know, to look up the Greek word or Hebrew word, you know. Anyway, we'll come back to that a little bit. And another thing is to read short passages. That's very helpful. It's good to have the context, and, you know, sometimes we can benefit from reading longer. But generally, that's a good counsel you find in Steps to Christ. You know, it basically says that it's usually more value to study one passage until the meaning is clear than to read through many chapters. It's a counsel God gives us to focus, to read one passage, rather a shorter passage, and really try to understand and get something out of that instead of just reading on the surface, you know, through many things. It's better to focus on something smaller and try to grasp it and understand it and really think about what that means. So that's something that I found helpful, to get something out of it. Another practical thing that I found very helpful is, you know, to write down what you learn. To write down what you learn. That will help you to get things out of it. And sometimes, you know, to actually see what you actually do understand from the text, to really try to formulate it, it will help you to... Yeah, I found it very helpful to write down what you learn and to write down what this means to you, you know, what you can take with you from the study of the Word. Very important. Another thing that can be very helpful is to concentrate on what you do understand. You know, sometimes we come to a book, we come to a passage, and it may be a lot of things, it sounds confusing, there's a lot we don't understand there, and, you know, we'll never understand the Bible completely. But when I'm sure also there is always things we also can understand from a story, from a passage, from a verse. If we really pray and let God lead, you know, we will find things that we can understand and take with us. So try to concentrate on that, and writing down, that will help you to do that. That will help you to actually see what you do understand in that passage, in that story. That, at least I found that to be helpful. Another thing is memorize scripture. Memorize scripture. This is actually one of the things I've been most blessed by from the Word of God, to really commit to memory. This is something God also many times actually encourages us to do, to commit to memory. And when you do that, the thing is, then you really think about it. I try to really think, what does it mean? And that helps me to remember it. You know, I think of every word. Why is it this word here? You know, and suddenly, sometimes, you know, years after I learn something, suddenly I sit somewhere and I'm just thinking about this verse, and suddenly, you know, I understand the meaning of it. And actually, that's what happened with Martin Luther. This verse from Romans 1, it was in his mind. He suddenly, he understood the text, and like, and that was actually, so basically it was a Bible memory verse that was the beginning of the Reformation, actually. So that's a very, very helpful thing. And another thing can be, you know, to study on a specific time, specific plan, to have, you know, a set time, you know, in the beginning of the day, this time, you know, this is scheduled, this is God's time, you know, this is time for, you know, communion with God. And whatever, if you don't feel like it, still, you take that time. Take that time. It's like, you know, if you want to have success with exercise, you should do the same. Not only go out jogging if you feel like it, you know, if it's bad weather, you sit inside, you know, but say, hey, this time I will exercise. This time I will spend time with God. And it can be good to have a plan, you know, to study maybe a specific, you know, you go through a book, you have a plan for what you are studying, and not every day sit, okay, what should I read today? When I do that, I get less out of it. But if I kind of, I'm continuing with something I maybe studied before, you know, that's, I think, nice. Another thing we are counseled to do is to use our sanctified imagination. You know, I talked about that. Try to, you know, see in front of you what happened. Try to picture the story. You know, when you by God's grace, can learn to do that more and more, it will become much more interesting and living, you know, to study the Word of God. It will be powerful. Anyway, I'm realizing I'm moving fast. We have many things to talk about. Just to tell you, I can, you know, it's recorded, so you can also listen to the recording afterwards. If you don't get everything now, you can listen to it again. And also, I would be happy to give you, if you want, a handout with some, you know, of the quotes and some of these things as well. Anyway, another thing, it's maybe a given one, but it's very important, so therefore I want to mention it. That is number four, you know, ask questions. Ask questions. It's really important to ask a lot of questions. Who is saying this? Who is writing this? Why are they saying this? You know, why are they doing this? You know, who is he writing to? What is the circumstance, you know, in this situation, for this book? You know, what is happening here? What is the purpose? Ask a lot of questions. When you do that, you will try to get the picture. You know, the Bible is often very short. You know, just say, many times you just say what happened, why someone says something, it doesn't say, or what someone said, it doesn't always, many times it doesn't say why, you know, or maybe, yeah. So ask a lot of questions, you know. Generally, that's a good advice in all parts of life, you know. If you dare to ask many stupid questions, you learn a lot, you know. Those who ask much, learn much, yeah. So just ask and ask and ask, and you will start to learn and get a lot of things out of it. And the key question, you know, a key question that you really need to ask all the time is, you know, what does this mean in my life? What does this mean in my life? You know, if you don't ask that question, you know, it's almost no use for you to study. And you might write, you know, a religion which is not practical, it's not genuine. It's really important that you ask, hey, what does this mean, and apply it into your life. You know, wisdom, as I said in the beginning, Bible says here we have wisdom that makes us wise to salvation. But that's only when we receive the words. Living by the word, we need to receive it by God's grace into our hearts. And, you know, by his grace, it becomes part of our lives. Okay, so number five, use tools. Use tools, okay. This is something that God, I think, advises us, he wants us to use, that will help us to get much more out of the study of the Word of God. It's several tools that you can use. One thing that is very helpful is a dictionary. It's a dictionary. You know, the Bible is not only a book, but how many books? 66 books. And those books are built up by chapters, yeah? And those chapters are built up by verses, and those verses are built up by words, yeah? So in order to understand the Bible and the books and the chapters and the verses, yeah, you need to understand the verse, the words, right? It's essential. And actually, I haven't used this so much. It's quite recently I really started to actively, you know, use a dictionary, you know, because I have it on my computer, whatever, I have a good dictionary. But I've been very blessed by it, actually, more than I thought. Because many times we read words that we kind of have an idea of what they mean, but we don't really understand it. We don't really have a... We couldn't define it very well ourselves. Like, just think about words like, you know, holy, or blessing, or... Yeah. You know, you have many of these type of words. Grace, you know. What does it really mean? You know, looking up into dictionaries, several dictionaries, it may help you to actually understand what the verses and are really talking about. Yeah. So a dictionary that's can be very helpful. One thing you can look up is this passage and look up the word reconciled, and you will see some powerful lesson there that you really would miss if you don't get a good grasp of what that word really means. Okay. Because of time, we'll not look at that now. Okay. Another thing that is very helpful is a Bible lexicon. Bible lexicon. Okay, I think we'll go there. Numbers, fourth book of Moses. If we go there and if someone read chapter 13 and verse 16. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 16. This is really, really cool. Numbers 13 and verse 16. The setting here is that the Israelites, you know, they are on the border of Canaan, and they decide to send in spies to spy out the land before they will go in and conquer the land, you know, and finish the work, you know, inhabit the promised land, yeah. Canaan, by the way, you know what it means? It means humiliation. It's interesting. When you start to understand these things, it gets so many things you can get out when you, you know. Anyway, can someone read verse 16, they have sent out the spies, and here this we see a list of the names of all the spies. It's just mentioned up in this passage. And then, what does it say in verse 16?
These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy on the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua.
Yes.
Is that just 16 or?
Yeah, that's fine. So this is really interesting. Yeah, here is listed all the names of the spies that are sent into the Promised Land. Yeah, and then it just say that Hoshea, Moses gives him a new name. He gives him the name Joshua. It doesn't say why. You know, that's the question we need to ask, and we need to find out what in the world is happening here. Yeah, does anyone of you know what does Hoshea? What does it mean? The name. What does the name mean? That's where a Bible lexicon is useful. Yeah. If we don't know it from before. What do you say? Yeah, that's actually, you're one step ahead of us. Hoshea means savior or salvation. But Joshua, which is a similar name, means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah saves. Think about this. Right before, they are sending in the 12 spies into the Promised Land, where they are going to see all these big, you know, fortified cities, and it looks impossible. Hey, we can never conquer the land. God, I think, inspired Moses to give this guy a new name, to remind them that, hey, you know, yes, it is impossible for you, but Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah will finish the work. Jehovah is mighty enough to do this. Powerful. He reminds them, hey, in my power, it's possible. You can go into the land, yeah? And it's interesting to note that of all the 12 spies, only two, right, believes it is possible. And one of them is Joshua. He learned a lesson. Now, this is the type of things I wouldn't know without a Bible lexicon, you know, without some external help. And there's so many things, you know, other things we don't have time to talk much about. Bible commentaries can be very helpful as well. Just need to remember, you know, not everything that you read there may be true, but still, there is a lot of good knowledge and wisdom from great Christians up through history that have written things down that can help us to understand, you know, beautiful lessons from the Word of God. You also have, you know, eSword, a very good thing, you know, download to your computer. You can find MaxWord as well. Also, even on, I have it on my phone. Very nice tool where you can get many different translations. You can search for words. Computer can even search for every time the same, you know, you can look at what the Hebrew and Greek word means, and it can have different meanings. It's really powerful. You can get a lot out of it. I started to use it a lot. Very, very nice tool. That really enrich your Bible study. I think Ellen White is one of, you know, the best tool God has given us to understand the Word of God. One good thing I've done, you know, is you can study one of her books together with the Bible. You know, you study, take Patriarchs and Prophets or Acts of the Apostles. You read in the Bible, and then you can read the same passage, you know, what she writes about the same story or whatever. I found that to be very, very, yeah, you can get a lot out of that. So anyway, these things, I haven't used a lot some of these things before, but, you know, this year I started to use it more, and I've been very blessed, you know. I've used many weeks only to study the Lord's Prayer and the blessing. You know, the Lord bless you and keep you, right? We know these things. We've heard it many times, yeah? But do we really understand it? I found it's so much in there. When you really read it carefully and use some tools and think about it, look up the words, like, I've been really, really blessed by it. So this is, you know, this is a very good advice. Okay, number six. Apply. This is absolutely crucial. This is very, very important. Right, we talked about it a little bit before. You do not understand my teaching, my words, because you do not stand. You're not willing to receive it. He who wants to do my will, he shall know the doctrine. This is crucial. Actually, did you know that Paul has a letter to the Laodicean church? Did you know that he wrote to the Laodicean church? In the end of the Colossian letter, it says that really is also in the church of Laodicea. The Laodicean church, which is a symbol of the people of God today, of us today, the problem was not that they didn't have knowledge. Our problem is not that we don't have knowledge out there. You know, we have a lot of knowledge, yeah. But the problem was that they failed to put the knowledge in practice as they should. They failed to put it out in practice. they fail to, you know, act on it as they should. And I think the society where we live, we are so used to, there's so much information, yeah? We learn so many things in school that we never use. We are so used to see things on television, news, or whatever we can't really do something about. We're used to put things in without doing something with it. So it's really important. Let's go to James chapter 1. This is a very important verse. We need to take time for it before we go into the last point of the first part of how to study the Bible. James chapter 1, and if someone reads verse 22. James 1, verse 22. James 1, 22.
But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Yes, be doers, and not only hearers, deceiving yourself. It's really important that we always ask ourselves, hey, what does this mean in my life? You know, to really understand it. And that's when, you know, sometimes it appears, sometimes it's not comfortable because God wants to change things, you know. But that's when it gets exciting, when we are willing to listen, to let God operate us, yeah. Like a surgery, the greatest surgery in the world, yeah, to make us better, yeah. That's, you know, but that's a key thing. We need to make sure that we are living in a culture where it's easy to have information without acting on it. You know, I just read, for instance, you know, have you ever have this long thing you need to read, and do you accept, you know, you get on the computers, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. If you install a program, or all the time, it's so long. I don't know about you, but if you would take time to read all of that, man, you would use a lot of time. One time I heard, actually, I think it was Microsoft, that in the print there, you know, they wrote that if you contact us, you will get the money for this product back. But very few people actually did, because people don't read it. Yeah, there's so much information. So therefore, it's so important that we ask ourselves, hey, what does this mean to me? You know, by God, please help me to put it out in practice. Living by the word doesn't mean to, you know, walk with the Bible in your hand and to church one time a week. It means to put it into your heart by God's grace, you know, to decide the purpose in your heart that you want to live like this, like what you read, yeah, what God teaches you through your work. Anyway, the last point here, have the right focus. Have the right focus. It's really important that we center, you know, that we understand the main message of the Bible, you know, to as we study. That the focus is on Christ, on salvation, on cross, and grace. You know, that is the core of the message. You know, Paul, he understood that. He said, I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, hanging upon the cross, right? And why it says Christ was the gospel. So this is very important. You know, Jesus, when he went to Emmaus, right, to the disciples, he taught through all the Old Testament. Yeah, he showed them what it was written about him. This is, you know, listen to this quote. This is really cool. Education, page 125. Here it says, the central theme of the Bible, the theme about which every other in the whole book clusters, you know, all the books are about this theme, is the redemption plan, the restoration in the human soul of the image of God. You know, this is the theme. This is the redemption plan, restoring God's image in us, you know, transforming us by his grace into his image, yeah. From the first, you know, from the very first to the end, you know, not to take time to read all of it, but it says, the burden of every book and every passage of the Bible, get that, every book, every passage, the burden of it, is the unfolding of this wondrous theme. Man's uplifting, the power of God which giveth us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to the last sentence here. He who grasps this thought, he who understands this, has before him an infinite field for study. He has the key that will unlock to him the whole treasure house of God's word. It's when you get this, when you start to dig down through the surface and find the gold down there, that's when the study of the word will be what God wants it to be, a communion with him, a life-invigorating, exciting experience. We need to have the right focus. Now, to summarize, prioritize daily the word of God in the beginning of the day. Have the right attitude. It's crucial. Not only read, but study. Read very carefully, you know. Ask questions. Use tools. Put it out in practice, you know, have the right focus. Now, I want to summarize it like this. The three most important questions to ask as we study the Bible If you didn't get anything else, get this. This is the main thing to take with you from this part before we go into how to know God's will. Okay. That is, what does this tell me about Jesus? What does this tell me about my Savior? That's one of them. Okay. Another one, what does this mean to me personally? What can I take with me from this? Okay. And the third one, what does this tell me about salvation? How I'm saved, or how I could be in danger of losing salvation. Yeah. Salvation, Savior, me, salvation. This is the three most important questions. And look this, this is a nice acronym, SMS, or actually I prefer Messiah, me, salvation, MMS. MMS, okay. Now, this is what God wants. He wants to send us an MMS to restore his image in us. Now, in order to receive an MMS, yeah, you need to open your mobile. You need to have it on. You need to open your mobile. You need to have the right settings. If not, you can't receive an MMS. Not so long ago, I have an old phone that, and I didn't install it, so I couldn't receive it. Now I can. Anyway, you need to have the right settings. And if it's a big picture, it takes longer time, you know, to load it on a phone or on a computer. What God wants to, the picture God wants to send to us is the greatest, biggest picture in the universe. It's his image. He wants to load up in us, in our heart. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It's the work of a lifetime. But my appeal in this part before is simply, you know, take time to open your mobibles, yeah. Prioritize time for it daily. Take time for it. Study with the right settings, with the right attitude is essential. The right attitude. Take with you what you learn, you know. Put it out by his grace in practice. Always ask this question, what does it tell me about Christ? What does this mean to me personally? What does this mean about salvation? So that God can restore his picture, his image in you. So that he from day to day, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, can transform you by his grace. So we all can be part of his kingdom, his glorious kingdom, where harmony and joy and peace will be running through everywhere. Yeah, we need to receive the image he wants to upload in us. And maybe, you know, sometimes it can happen that we lose the contact. And if you do that, if you're loading a picture, you know, you maybe need to start over again. But if we lose the contact, we can always start over again. God is willing to receive us, but we need to plug in again. If you have lost the contact, plug in again. Plug in today. Don't wait. Okay, so that's the first part. Now, before you go into how to know God's will, I want you guys to stand up a little bit. And actually, if someone could open the windows there, I think one of them is open, so we get a little bit air. And actually, I want to teach you guys a song. We can stand up, we can get some air in our, you know, in our lungs. And this is a really nice song that fits with what I've talked, so I wanted to take it. I'm not a really good singer or player, but I can make it work. And I think you can cooperate with me. And this is actually, you know, you sing in echo here. So actually, I need help from... Yeah, you can. You know this. So, the first line, or first I'm singing one line, and then you repeat after me, okay? And then I'm singing the next line, and you repeat after me. It's quite simple, but when we go to the second and fourth verse, it's a little bit more difficult, because after the first two lines, I sing the third line, and then you sing the third line, but then I don't wait for you, I continue with the fourth while you sing the third, okay? So that's the number two and number four. That's, you just need to sing while I don't wait for you, okay? But I know some of you know the song, so I think, you know, you will cooperate with me and it will be nice. It's a happy song. Okay, so with a good message from the Word of God, yeah. Okay, so let's try. Let me see, I just need to find it here. So you can breathe, you know, stand up, get some air in your lungs so we can think clear through the last part, how to know God's will as well, okay? Thy word have I hid, and then you come there. Deep down in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, my God. one more time from the beginning. Thy word have I hid deep down in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, my God. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold great things in thy law, so shall I keep it continually. Thy word is a lamp, light to my like the song? I think it's very nice. It's a good message. And okay, let's see. Now, over to how to know God's will. That's the last part of this workshop. Okay, let's see here. Before we go into that, I want us to bow our heads and pray one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us so far. I pray that you may help us to concentrate and focus and get something out of this last time before lunch. Thank you that you will lead us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, how to know God's will? You know, why should we? And that's maybe the first question we could ask. You know, I believe it's true. You know, Ellen White, she writes that, I like this quote, it's Message to Young People, page 38. She says, those who in everything make God first and last and best are the happiest people in the world. Those who in everything make God first and last and best are the happiest people in the world. You know, if we follow God's plan, He who created us, He who knows, you know, how to best fulfill, you know, our desires and longing, that's the key, you know, to the best life we could ever live. I also like how it says about Abraham in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 126. It says, the happiest place on earth for him was the place where God would have him to be. So the question is, how can we know His plan? His plan is great, it's the best, but how can we know it? Before we look on that, I want to share a powerful promise with you. It's from the Surveyors, page 668. It says, those who decide to do nothing in any line that will displease God, they will know, after presenting their case before Him, just what course to pursue. And they will receive not only wisdom, but strength. Powerful obedience for service will be imparted to them as Christ has promised. Powerful promise. When we decide, when we want to follow God, you know, and seek Him, He has promised us to show us exactly what He wants for us. You know, His plan, His will for our lives. And I can tell you, this promise is true. This promise is true, you know. Like 4 or 5 years in a row, I have to decide what to do next year, yeah. My sister, last year, she almost had to do it twice a year. But anyway, I always claimed the promise, and I've seen, you know, God, you know, when we want to follow His plan, He will show us. It's not maybe always what we would have chosen and expected first. You know, I ended up in the northernmost town in the world as a Bible worker in North Norway, where we have no sun in the, you know, in the winter and cold, and I don't understand why people live there. Anyway, but God led me there, and half a year ended up being 2 years, and I'm sure He led me. You know, it was a great time. Anyway, so, but how can we know? Yeah. Now, how could you know my will? If the workshop was how to know Joachim's will, okay. How could you know my will? Some suggestions. Ask you, yeah, that's a good one, yeah. I would probably tell you some things, yeah, for sure. Other things, if you couldn't ask me, maybe, what could you do else, or other things you could do?
You could also follow what you do.
Yeah, you can see, yeah, you can look what I do, yeah. Other things, other thoughts? Could ask people that know me, maybe, right? My brother, for instance, yeah.
I can also see
Yeah, see what I've done, what I've, you know, said or written or whatever. We can observe, we can ask, we can, you know, find out how I use my time, my resources, you know, what my goals and visions are. You know, that will help to understand my will, what I would want to do in a specific situation. Or similarly, it is when it comes to God. It's similar when it comes to God. Actually, the most important thing when it comes to knowing God's will and knowing God's will for your life, it is, you know, like for me, you know, to know my will, it would be to get to know me. Yeah. If you would get to know me through these things or whatever, the best if you could talk with me, be with me, you find out my will. The most important thing to know God's will for your life is actually a living, dynamic relationship to Jesus Christ. A living relationship. That's the key, actually, to knowing God's will. It says, this is life eternal, that they know you, the only true God, and Him you sent, Jesus Christ. This is the core of Christianity, knowing of the Christian life, knowing God. It's not knowledge, but knowing. It's not religious rites, primarily, but it's rather a real relationship. This is the key to knowing God's will. I heard a story. There was a white man in Africa. He had an African guide, yeah? And they were going through the bush. They were going to find a way to this village out there in the boonies somewhere. And he was wondering, you know, they were just walking straight out into, you know, in the boonies there. And so the white man, he was wondering, what are we doing? You know, what is this? You know, so he asked the man, you know, where is the way? They had to, you know, work themselves to come through, yeah? Where is the way? He asked his African guide. But the guy stopped and he answered. He said, there is no way. I am the way. And that's kind of how it is with God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's to getting to know Him that will help you to understand His great plan and will for your life. That is the key. Actually, that's the key to find out, you know, the best way you could ever to get to know Him. And so actually, you know, we could stop this part right here. If we really get this, you know, we know. But anyway, there are some other things we look at, some helpful things. But that's the key. But this happens also gradually. Yeah, you get to know someone better and better, and it's easier and easier to understand what that person would have wanted to do in different situations. Also with God, it says in Proverbs 4 that the path of the righteous is like a shining, like the morning, you know, light, sunlight. You know, it gets brighter and brighter until it's full day. So more and more as we get to know God and study His Word, it will be clearer and clearer for us His will in all parts of our lives. Yeah. It will be easier and easier for us to understand. It's just like a relationship, yeah, as well. It's easier to understand when you get to know someone really well. Now, there are five main ways that we will look at for how to know God's will. Five main ways, okay. Number one is wholehearted surrender and prayer. Wholehearted surrender and prayer. This is crucial condition. This step is very important. You know, God's promise on guidance is based on conditions. You know, one condition is, you know, after presenting their case before Him, they will know. One condition is we need to present our case before Him. He who asks will receive, yeah. James 1:5, he who lacks wisdom and asks, he will receive. So we need to ask. But not only asking, it's also important how we ask. It says in Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me, and you will find me. What does it say? You will find me when you seek me with half your heart. With all your heart, when we wholeheartedly want to seek God, find His plan, find His will, then we will find out. This is really essential. If we're not willing to really, you know, seek Him wholeheartedly or follow His plan, you know, we don't have a guarantee that we will find out what to do in a specific situation. If we don't follow the light that He has given us, why should He give us more light? If we don't live after what we know is true, you know, why should He, you know? But if we honestly, sincerely have a desire to follow Him, to trust Him, you know, to follow His plan, He will show. He has promised to show us. You know, because this is a key thing as well. It says in the quote as well, many similar verses in the Bible, those who decide to do nothing in any line that will displease God. This is essential. If we come to that point, we decide, hey, I want to follow my Creator and Redeemer, His plan, all parts of my life. I trust that His plan is the best. We need to have this attitude. When we have this attitude, He has promised to show us. He has promised to show us. It also says, you know, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. You know, it's a condition. We need to be willing to follow Him to really understand his plan. So this is very important. So wholehearted surrender and prayer, that's number one. That's the condition, you know, for that we're to be sure that, yeah, you will find out. It's many, anyway, you know, you can get more verses and quotes. We'll not have time to look at all of this. One verse that is nice is, in all your ways, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct our paths. If you decide to, in all your ways, follow him and know him and acknowledge him, you know, he will lead you. He will show you where he wants you to go. Okay. Number two is God's main way, or of five main ways to know God's will, is through the inspired words of God. Through the inspired words of God. You know, God has communicated in many different ways. We can learn, you know, we can get to know God through nature, through many different things. But the main way, God's main way of communication, what is that? It's through the prophets, right? That's where he clearest reveals his will. Where he clearest communicates to us is through his prophets. So this is also essential, you know. So study, it's hand in hand with what we looked at before, right? Study the word of God, you know, through his words, through his prophets. This is essential. You know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, right? It gives understanding to the simple, it says in Psalms as well. You don't need to be a doctor, a professor in theology to understand God. If you have the right attitude, God will reveal his will to you as you come to his word and seek him with all your heart. He wants you to live the best life you could ever live, yeah. Now, here I want to say, this is not, we have the word of God, we have the Bible, but we also have, you know, the spirit of prophecy. Through Ellen White, right, from Ellen White and the spirit of prophecy, God also reveals, even, you know, simpler, help us to understand what the principles of the Bible means to us. So I really hope that you believe in and benefit from the great gift that God has given us in the spirit of prophecy. You know, God is so many blessings in there, you know, that will help us in all areas of life. Yeah. So, you know, if you want to find out God's will for your life, if you want to find out God's calling for your life, if you want to find out, you know, how to best use your time, your talents, and your resources, if you want to, you know, find out how to have the optimal physical, mental, or spiritual health you could have, if you want to, you know, have a living, dynamic, you know, saving relationship to Christ, if you want to receive, you know, the blessing of the Sabbath, if you want to know how to best approach and maintain and cultivate different relationships, yeah, you know, in other words, if you want to live the best life you could ever live, hey, an essential part is the words of God through his prophet, through the Bible, and through the spirit of prophecy. You know, if you are a teacher, read a book Education by Ellen White. If you're a pastor or a Bible worker, into Bible work, you know, read Gospel Workers, pastoral ministry. You know, if you're into health, read Ministry of Healing and you know, Call to Medical Evangelism and Health Education. If you are, you know, starting a family or in a family, read Adventist Home. You know, there are so much great counsel there that many times, you know, they lay on the shelves and we maybe believe it's true, but we don't really study it. But if we would study these things and all the counsel God gives us in all areas of our lives, it would be such a blessing to us, you know. It's so much in there. It's a treasure, you know. So that's actually the main way, you know, to know God's will. Through his inspired words. It's so much counsel there that tells us so many helpful things. And of course, yeah. But now, I have some bad news. And that's, you know, it doesn't say in the Bible, not even in the spirit of prophecy, you know, it doesn't say there, you know, who you should marry, or where you should study, or what you should work with. You know, you will not find that in the Bible or in the spirit of prophecy, yeah? But actually, that's not bad news. Number one, probably you knew it already, so it's not news. Number two, if God in his wisdom chose to do it that way, it's not bad. Yeah. We have what we need to find his will. He has promised to guide us. But in order to find out his will, since it is only principles, yeah, and we don't see all the details, yeah, we need also the next steps. It's three more things, you know, main ways that we look at of how God leads us. That is crucial, you know, to understand, since we don't find these things, yeah, in the Bible and in spirit prophecy, yeah. Listen to this quote. This is an important quote. You should write this down. Testimonies 5, page 512. Listen to this. There are three ways in which the Lord reveals his will to us, to guide us, and to fit us to guide others. How may we know his voice from that of a stranger? How shall we distinguish it from the voice of a false shepherd? God, listen to this, God reveals his will to us in his word. That's one of the three, you know, three main ways. In the Holy Scriptures. His voice is also revealed in his providential workings. So that's another thing. We'll come back to that. In his providential workings. And it will be recognized if we do not separate our souls from him by walking in our own ways. Following the promptings of an unsanctified heart until the senses have become so confused that eternal things are not discerned and the voice of Satan is so disguised that it is accepted as the voice of God. Another way in which God's voice is heard is through the appeals of his Holy Spirit. This is another thing we want to notice. He reveals his will through the appeals of the Holy Spirit by making impressions upon the heart, which will be wrought out in the character. If you are in doubt upon any subject, you must first consult the scriptures. Okay, so this is very useful counsel. Do you get this? Here we see how God wants to show his will to us. How he wants to reveal his will to us. So the first we want to notice of these things is providence. Providential workings, right? Providence. Now, what is providence? Now, in this case, it can be good to have a dictionary. Yeah, yeah, this is a little bit difficult word, yeah. I looked up some, tried to define it, looked up some definition. One definition is, you know, it's God's intervention in the world, his general providence, how he leads, you know, the world. But another thing is his special intervention in our lives. You know, some call it the Christian word for luck. Yeah. But maybe the best definition in this situation is God's working in the circumstances and surroundings of our lives. Could be by opening and closing doors. How God leads things that happens in our lives. You know, through that he leads us. He wants to teach us things. He wants to lead us and show us his will for our lives. Through how he leads, you know, and guides and circumstances and surroundings that we don't have. You know, things, basically, I think one good definition of providence is to, is things that is outside of our control. Things that happen in our life, you know, that it's outside of our control. God leads those things. He guides those things. And through that, he uses that to teach us things and to lead us and to tell us things. Yeah, this is one way he leads us. And actually, this is something he wants to use much more often, than we realize. Listen to this. It's from Steps to Christ, page 87. It says, God speaks to us through his providential workings and through his influence of his Spirit upon the heart. Listen to this. In our circumstances and surroundings, in changes daily taking place around us, we may find precious lessons if our hearts are but open to discernment. So daily, actually, very often, he wants to teach us things and you know, lead us through providence. And actually, I memorized this quote, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago. And after I did, I started to realize, because then I was reminded of it sometimes, you know, Holy Spirit brings things to mind when you put it in heart. And I started to actually see and realize more and more how circumstances and surroundings in my life, how God was wanting, you know, he was speaking to me through it. He was leading me through it. I didn't, you know, if we don't stop and think, you know, we will not always realize that. But this is one way God wants to lead us, through providence. Now, how does he do that? I wish we had more time. I would have given you, you know, I like to give some illustrations and stories and some more time to thinking. Now it's like, I don't know. Anyway, now you get the meat and you have to digest it afterwards sometime. It's vegetarian meat, so it's good. But anyway, yeah. Well, it could be true, you know, if you apply for a school or a job, it could be that, you know, God, you know, that you get accepted or not get accepted. You know, that is things maybe outside of your control. You know, how God can lead. He can open a door. He can close a door. It could be, you know, by that you get the money you need to go to a mission school or whatever, you know, to do something that God calls you to do. And if you get the money, you know, that needs to fall in place if this is something God wants you to do. It could be that you don't get what you need and maybe God didn't want you to go there, you know. It could be, you know, it could be by getting a visa or not getting a visa. But this that not, it does not mean, you know, that all unlikely things that happen come from God. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, this is not, providence is not enough in itself. It's not like if you get accepted, if you get this job, this must be God's will. It's so unlikely, you know, I get this job. So it must be God's will. It's not necessarily. Maybe Satan wants to get you in a wrong track, yeah. But anyway, God often leads. This is one way he leads us, through opening, closing doors, through providence. I heard a story. There was a Scottish woman. She was walking in the countryside. She was selling stuff she had made, you know. And every time she came to a crossroad, an unmarked crossroad, she took her stick or her staff, and you know she tossed it, the stick, into the air, and the way it fell, you know, the direction it fell, that would be the road she would choose. Yeah. So she went on unmarked crossroad, and she just took the stick, and if it came to the right, she walked to the right. Yeah. But one day, someone saw this woman doing this several times at the crossroad. So someone, they stopped and they asked her, "Why are you doing that?" You know. And she said, "No, you know, the stick, it keeps falling to the left, but I want to walk to the right." So dutifully, she continued to do this until it fell to the right, and then she walked to the right. Now, you need to be careful when it comes to providence, when it comes to, you know, I don't have time to tell you some examples of how something that seemed like providence, you know, someone even prayed, but I can tell you for sure it went against the word of God. It was not providence, at least that God was behind. Huh? We need to be careful, you know, we need to have the different steps. But providence is one way, but we need to be sure that we don't interpret it like we want it to. You know, the heart is deceitful above all things, it says. We need to be careful. That's why we also need to pray, and wholehearted surrender is essential to understand. Yeah. Now, number four. Impressions of the Holy Spirit. Impressions of the Holy Spirit. Now, we read about the building of the sanctuary. How they were going to build a sanctuary in the wilderness. Then it says how, you know, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come, they came and they worked, you know. Those who came, they worked, they came, they knew how that they should work and what they should do. It was because they were stirred in their heart. One way God leads us, he stirs us in our hearts. He impresses us with his Spirit on our hearts. You know, things he wants us to do, he lays on our hearts. Another example is, you remember the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. They went alone up to the Philistines. It was crazy, yeah. And they conquered them actually because of this. It was like, and it's really cool. The reason they did that, it was very dangerous, you know. But they felt impressed. They felt the impression of the Holy Spirit to do it. Ellen White writes in Patriarchs and Prophets how they were moved by divine impulse. That's why they did it. They went with confidence because God laid on their heart, go up there. He led him with his Spirit. He impressed him with his Spirit. Now, again, this is also, you know, we need to be careful because sometimes we may get impressions that it's not from God. But it says in this quote that we read before, it will be recognized, you know, if it's from the Spirit or not, if we do not separate our souls from him by walking in our own ways. If we decide to follow him in everything, if we know him, that's how that will help us to understand what is from God and what is not. If it's an impression from God, or just our own idea, yeah. But it also says, again, it's really important, we always need to test with the Bible. If something goes against the Bible, with, you know, God's plan, for sure we can know this is not an impression of the Holy Spirit. For sure we can know this is not God leading us by his providence. So, the Bible, you know, that's the main thing. We need to test everything against that. One thing is, I heard Mark Finley say, and I think he's right. He said, how can you distinguish impression of the Holy Spirit from your own thoughts and impressions? He said, if it is from God, if it is an impression of the Holy Spirit, it usually, you know, grows stronger over time. It will stay there over time, and it usually grows stronger. But if it's just an own idea from you that you shouldn't do, it usually maybe disappear after some time. And especially if you pray about it, and if this maybe desire or like that he lays on your heart grows as you pray and think about earnestly seeking about what to do, it's probably something God, you know, wants you to do. So that's, I think, one good thing that can help us to know if it's from him or not. Now, one more thing, the fifth thing I want to look at. Then we'll see if we have some time left. It's not mentioned in this quote. So I think what we have talked about so far is the main ways. But this is also another way that God often uses that is also very helpful. And that's godly counseling. Godly counseling. The Bible, you know, God has a lot to say about that. You know, it says plans are established by counsel, by wise counsel wage war. You know, plans fail for lack of counsel, Proverbs 15:22, but with many advisors they succeed. You know, counseling is one way God wants us to work as a church. It's one way God wants to lead us as individuals, by godly counseling. You know, Ellen White writes that there is a human tendency to run to extremes. You know, if we only trust in ourselves and walking out, you know, it's easy that we some way maybe go into extremes and don't follow God's plan. We will misunderstand things. But if we are together, we counsel, we work together, we you know, that would help us to follow God's will, to follow His plan. God wants us to work together. God wants us to help each other, to lead each other. So this is a very, very helpful thing. Some important thing, you know, to remember when you counsel, it's an advice is not a command, you know. People shouldn't take the decision for you. Their role, even though they might have more knowledge and experience, they shouldn't decide for you. You should listen to, they should help you to understand, you know, what God says in His word, what might be providence or not, what might be the impression of the Holy Spirit or not. They should help you to understand, and you should take your decision, okay? Another thing is, sometimes you don't need counseling. It's not a must. Sometimes it's clear enough without counseling. It's not like you have to go through that step. That's, I think, one reason why it's not mentioned in the other quote, yeah? But it can often be helpful. Another thing is essential to have godly counselors. Godly counselors. Not only ask people you know will tell you what you want to hear, yeah? You know, that's not, you know, then you might not get the right counsel. Godly counselors, very essential. And many counselors is also important. In the multitude of counselors, we are told, there is safety. Because what may happen, I've experienced that when I had to take a decision, you know, 1.5 years ago, an important decision. I talked to different people, godly people that I, you know, respect. But they gave me different counsels. One said, you should do this, one said, you should do that. And so what to do then? Yeah. But if we have many counselors, generally, if all of them or many of them say the same thing, I think we can be quite sure that's probably the thing I should do. If many people say the same thing, you know, that's probably what you should do. So having many counselors, that's... And you can get different input from different people. They may see and understand things that may help you to see what God is actually trying to tell you. Yeah. So counseling can be very helpful. Okay, so 5 main ways God leads us to know God's will. Wholehearted surrender and prayer. The inspired words of God. Providence. Impressions of the Holy Spirit. And godly counseling. This is the main, you know, this is the key thing to know God's will. I read an article. It's very interesting. Good, or it was a blog actually on the internet. I prayed about it, and therefore I am infallible. I prayed, so therefore I can't do any mistake. You know, I think it was an interesting article. I just want to say again, emphasize this point. It's very important, you know, that we really honestly seek God and want to follow Him and make Him first in our lives. That's when we really can be sure that we take the right decision. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. Okay, let's see. I need to wrap up. We don't have time to look much of it, but you can, you know, if you want to get a handout, or you can have more of it in there. But I want to, because there are some, I have 7 points I would, if I had more time, I would go quickly through and say shortly about some more practical tips on how to know God's will. I want to mention shortly, just a little bit of it. I don't have much time, but you can get more of it. But one thing is, you know, use your brain and do all you can. It's very interesting. Through spiritual prophecy, God tells us we are to be guided by true theology and common sense. True theology and common sense. You know, God has given us a brain. And many times, you know, if we just think, we know what we should do. Yeah. You know the story, maybe. It's a good story illustrating this. It was this disaster, and it came a warning. It will come a big flood, and the man said, "Hey, you know, if I will come in danger, God will deliver me. I trust in God." But then the neighbor came with a car and said, "Hey, join us. We have a space." But he said, "No, God will take care of me." And then it came a car, and he said the same thing, "No, God will take care of me." And then it came a, you know, in the end it came a helicopter, long story short. And then he dies. And in the, when he comes to heaven, you ask God, "God, why didn't you deliver me?" But God says, "Hey, I sent you a warning. I sent you a car. I sent you a canoe. I sent you a motorboat. I sent you a helicopter. What more could I do?" You know, basically, God sent things, but He didn't use it. You know, we, with other words, we need to do what we can. You know, we need to do our part, and then God, you know, it's this quote, I think, also fits nicely here. You know, anyway, she writes, "Prayer and effort and prayer must be the business of your life." You must pray as though the efficiency and praise were all due to God. You must pray as though you couldn't do anything. It's only God. But listen to this. But you must labor as though duty were all your own. Very interesting. You should labor as though you have to do everything yourself. But you should pray as though you can't do anything. We need to do what we can, you know, true theology and common sense. We need to use our brain. We need to, you know, write things down, pros and cons. Should I do this? Should I do that? You know, do research. Why is this good? Why is this not good? You know, do what you can. Use your brain. You know, do your part. And this is, you know, I think we'll, the rest you will get on the handout. But I want to mention this and then I will close off with a thing. This is a key thing. Understand why you are here. Understand why you are here. Understand God's purpose. You know, God's main big purpose for you. That's essential for taking right decisions. And, you know, you have heard some quotes this convention and you will hear more, you know, things that God tells us in His Word and through the spiritual prophecy. For instance, I want to mention some of them again. You know, it's from Ministry of Healing, page 395. It says here, true education is missionary training. Every son and daughter of God is called to be a missionary. We are called to the service of God and our fellow men, and to fit us for this service should be the object of our education. God calls us to be missionaries, you know, and to be fitted for that should be, you know, it also says, you know, God calls us to make use of every opportunity for securing a preparation for His work. You know, God wants us, it says the heaven-appointed purpose, you know, for us is to preach the gospel to all the world in this generation. God wants us to be part of His army of young people, you know, rightly trained that can reach the world in this generation. You know, understanding God's purpose, this is why we are here, you know. Think about this. How many of you think we will be, happy in heaven, yeah? Of course, right. It will be better there than here, right, yeah. How many of you think that God loves you? Right, of course, that's the core of the Bible, right? Now, so if He loves us, if it's better to be in heaven than down here, why in the world are we here? Right? It sounds like a contradiction, yeah? The thing is, the reason we are here is that God has a purpose for us in this life. He wants to use us to be able, you know, let it be the study for life to bless and save others. Message to Young People, page 22. Understanding that purpose, you know, that's the core of our existence. That's the reason why we are here. If you want to know God's will, this is a key thing, you know. Do what He wants to lead you. You know, so understanding this, your purpose, you know, studying God's purpose, God's plan for you, God's plan for me, you know. And I just want to mention actually a little bit, you know, asking the right question is kind of connected with this. Is, you know, understanding this is, you know, when you take a decision, you know, ask questions like, where can I be most useful? You know, where can I learn and grow most, gain the greatest preparation for His work? You know, this is one of the most important questions to take the right decision. Where should I go? What should I study? Where should I work? You know, this is the key things we need to ask. You know, understanding God's purpose. You know, if we want to take the right decision, we need to ask these questions, you know. And also, what is God's plan for His church? What are the needs? You know, like sometimes we ask, you know, God, what do you want me to do? But rather, I think sometimes we should ask, God, what do you want to be done in this world? You know, God asked, whom shall I send? Did you know that Ellen White was the third person that was called? God wanted someone to be a prophet. And He took the person that was willing. When we study and read what God wants His church to do in these last days, when we read God's plan to finish the work, when we read, you know, and understand what God wants, you know, type of ministries that will play an essential part in the time of the end, that we detail, you have a lot of information about, like restaurants, sanatoriums, schools, publishing work, you know, lots of things. We need to study this, and when we see, hey, in my country we don't have this, then maybe God could use you to do it, yeah? Like, if we understand, when we read these things, you know, in His Word, and we pray, God, speak to me, let me understand, you know, what you want me to do. And if He may impress you, hey, you may not be qualified, God does not always call the qualified, but He always qualifies the called. Even though I wouldn't stand here today. That's another story. The first time I preached, a person that knew me since I was little, when she heard that I was going to preach, you know, she said, and the stones will cry out. Yeah. That was as probable for her that I would be preaching. Yeah. God does not always call it qualified, but he always qualifies the call. Anyway, I want to wrap up with a story, a short story. You don't have time for more of this. If you want, you can take my card here afterwards, and you can send me an email, and then I will send you the handouts, and then we will get the quotes we have looked at, and some things we didn't have time to look at, and you can go through it again. I realize we had a lot to look at. Sorry. I hope you were not... Yeah, anyway, I hope you got something out of it. Okay. There was one time in a church. The church, the people were gathered there, you know, they were just to start a divine service. And then this man, you know, the pastor, he goes up and he says, you know, today we have a visitor, and he's going to preach to us today, you know. And eventually this old man, he comes up, this old guy, and he starts to preach. And he tells a story of a man that was out with his son and a friend of his son. They were out on the water, out on the sea. But as they are out there, the weather is getting worse. You know, it's getting more and more wind. The waves are getting bigger and bigger. And so suddenly, like the boat is, you know, moving, and the two kids, they fall out in the water. And because of the strong, you know, wind and the waves, and you know, they are drifting fast, you know, away from the boat and in different directions. So this man in the boat, they you know, they can't come up by themselves. He is their only, you know, way of rescue. And this man, he need to decide, who shall I save first? You know, because he need to go for one of them. So he thinks to himself, it goes fast, but he thinks, he knows that his son is a Christian. And he's pretty sure that if he dies, he will be saved. But the friend of his son is not a Christian. So he decides, but he thinks maybe he can become a Christian one day. So he decides to try to save him first. So he's able, praise God, he's able to save this boy. But unfortunately, his own son died in that storm. As he's telling this story, he sees some people sitting in the very back of the church, and you know, some young people, and he can see that, you know, they are following along, they are captured by this story, and afterwards they come up to him and they say, hey, you know, it was a touching story, but who in the world would do that? No one would do that. Then this man, he says, I was that man. The kid, the boy that was saved, is the pastor of this church. You know, Paul writes, I really like what he says. He says in Romans, truly he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Of course, if he loved us so much, he will withhold no good things from those who love him, as it says in Psalms 84:11. You know, those who in everything make God first and best and last are the happiest people in the world. My appeal to you is make him first in everything. And know him in all thy ways. Follow his plan. Seek him, and you will live the best life you could ever live. The happiest place on earth for him is the place where he would have him, where he would have you to be. So study his plan. Seek him with all your heart, and he will show you what he wants for your life. Shall we pray together? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a loving God. You love us more than we can imagine and understand. Thank you also that you have a great plan for each of us in here. I pray, God, that you may help us to get to know you, to really be blessed by communion with you as you want to. Help us to really put in practice, to study your word, and help us to understand and know your will for our lives. I thank you that you will help us and lead us as we seek you with all our hearts. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.